This episode of Grad Chat was recorded in May 2026. Please disregard any reference to dates and times.
Hello and welcome to Grad Chat, your opportunity to find out about graduate research here at Queen's. My name is Amanda and I'm your new host. A show like this could not happen without the support of the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs and CFRC, so a big thank you to them both. If you missed the show at any time, you can download the podcast the next day on either iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or CFRC podcast. It's a great way to stay informed about all the exciting research our graduate students and postdocs are working on. Last week, you had the chance to get to know a bit more about me, and this week, KM on the FM, also known as Katie Marie McNeil, is in the interview seat. Katie Marie is the coordinator of postdoctoral affairs in the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs. Katie Marie will be leaving Queen's for her next adventure, and we couldn't let her leave without getting an opportunity to interview her and maybe get some tips as she passes the mantle of Grad Chat host to me. Hi, Katie Marie. Thanks for agreeing to be interviewed.
Hello, Amanda. Thanks for having me on.
So you are going on your next big adventure. So can you tell me, you've been Grad Chat host for almost 8 months now. Mm-hmm. What does it feel like being on the other side of the desk?
Well, it's pretty fun so far, I will have to say. I have been an interview guest before in previous years during my master's. And then when Colette Steer was the host, she interviewed me before. So it's fun to be back on the other side. It feels kind of full circle, right, to get to be a guest and then to get to learn to become the host and then to get to pass it on and come back to being in the guest seat again.
So basically, I have some pretty big shoes to fill is what you're saying. Okay, good to know. All right. So can you tell me a little bit about the work that you do as the coordinator of postdoctoral affairs?
Sure. So the role that I currently have, well, and will be passing on soon, is one that supports postdocs on campus. So many folks who listen to the show are probably aware what postdocs are, but they are researchers who have completed their PhDs, usually quite recently, and are conducting research usually on shorter term contracts for anywhere from 1 to 3 years usually. It's more common, I would say, in the STEM disciplines to be a postdoc, but increasingly in all disciplines. Social sciences and humanities also have postdoc positions as well. So my job involves supporting postdocs, which can mean a whole lot of different things. So that can be anything from like award management. So when someone wins an award from a tri-agency, so a SHRC, an NSERC, or a CIHR postdoc, I usually liaise with them, their faculty, supervisor, their department, help make sure that their award is going well. I also help with people completing their applications with CIHR, so a little bit of award management, do some professional development support, which is super fun, so getting to run programming with different partners across campus, anyone from HR over to some individual faculty members, so support for things like helping postdocs build a teaching dossier or helping postdocs learn about project management or whatever different skills they may be interested in for both academic and non-academic context, kind of professional development for whatever their next step may be. And then also just offering individual support to postdocs. So whatever questions may come up, helping them find the right place on campus or in the Kingston community to get help with whatever, you know, whatever issue they may have, or if they're just interested in finding something, helping them find that thing, that niche, as most folks are, you know, moving to Kingston from another community, moving to Kingston maybe from another province, another country, so they're usually coming here fresh, so we want to help them set up and get to know, find community here both at Queen's and outside of Queen's. And we do some other fun things like some research promotion through 3-minute research competition and research spotlights and Grad Chat, other ways to just get the word out about all the great work that postdocs are doing. So that's it in a nutshell, but it's fun. And then of course I also get to work with all the other colleagues in the SGSPA, so sometimes I will lend some support to programming for grad students, which is also a ton of fun.
So what would you say was your favorite event or activity to run every year?
I would say I think the Certificate in Professional Development for Postdocs program was probably my favorite. So that is an 8-month program that we run from September to April every year. And there's a different workshop each month that focuses on a different core competency, as well as a kind of a community get together over lunch for the folks who are in the program. So it's a cohort program. So we ask people to commit for the whole year. And then the individual workshops are open to any postdocs who want to just drop in for one. But it's a nice way for postdocs to get to meet each other across departments and disciplines. Because, you know, sometimes postdocs, you might be the only one in your department or the only one in your lab. And it's just a nice way for them to get to connect with one another. So that would probably be my favorite. Just get a chance to just chat and offer support. Like, for example, one time at lunch, we had someone who wasn't sure. Their supervisor was incredibly busy and they really needed their feedback on an article that they had been working on to be able to move it to publication stage. And the postdoc felt like they had tried everything to get their supervisor to, you know, move forward on this. But the supervisor was like, oh, they just kept apologizing and saying they were too busy and they would get to it and they would get to it. But, you know, this had already delayed the publication by a couple months. And all the other postdocs in the room then strategized and figured out and gave this person like step-by-step instructions on what they should do in their next meeting with their supervisor. And it worked. The person took that info from their peers, met with their supervisor next time, tried some of the strategies to make sure the meeting was really productive, got feedback on their article, and got their manuscript off. So that's just an example, I think, of why I like that program so much, because postdocs are able to support one another directly. And yeah, and then, you know, someone got to move their publication along a lot faster from the support of their peers.
Not just because lunch is provided.
Yes. No, not lunches. Important, I think, to bring people together over food, but it is not the key thing. It's more about the support and community.
Okay, well, grad students may have a different opinion of that, as I've been told snacks are the most important thing. So now that we know what you're doing now, can you tell us a little bit more about your next adventure? Where and what will you be doing?
So I am extremely excited to be starting as an assistant professor in the Department of Humanities at McEwen University in Edmonton, Alberta. So I will be an assistant professor of Canadian history within an interdisciplinary department of historians, classic scholars, some literature scholars, philosophers, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to taking on this new position, getting back into the classroom to get to teach and to get to work on research, which I have been, you know, slowly working on outside of the 9-to-5 kind of thing, but I'll get to really jump in back to my research program. So I'm looking forward to that.
And who wouldn't want to be in a department with historians and classicists?
Yes. A little biased, but you know.
A little biased here too, as everyone knows that we are the history and classics people. It's dangerous. So you are headed out to Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And are you going to be flying or driving or?
So right now, my partner and I have a car and a cat. So we will be driving. So most of our stuff will be moved by moving company, which will be great. But my cat does not really like transportation. I really don't think she would like flying. And we have a vehicle, so we have to get the car there somehow. So the three of us are going to be doing a road trip.
And how long will that take?
We've scheduled 4 days, so it's going to take 4 days. We have our route planned and our hotels booked. So I think it's going to be some longer driving days, but we'll get there.
So do you have any strategies for your cat? And just so that people know, Katie and Marie's cat doesn't like anyone but Katie, Marie, and her husband, and gives side eye. Like, you know exactly what this cat is thinking about you and that you should not be in the house. So I imagine that staying in motels or hotels are perhaps going to push your feline friend out of their comfort zone.
Yes. So my cat's name is Lulu. She's a senior now. She is very loving to, yes, my husband and I, but no one else. So I think it's going to be a challenging move. I don't think she's going to like a second of it, but we're going to go talk to the vet to see what we can do in terms of anti-anxiety medication and what we can do to like make the journey a little easier for her. There's no way around it. I think she's going to hate pretty much every second of it, but she can't stay in Ontario, and I don't think she would like flying on a plane. So the car is the best, the lesser of two evils, I think of.
You can't leave her in Ontario. She has to go and have an adventure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she'll get used to the new place eventually as soon as she makes it her own. And
once she forgives us for, making,
eventually she'll remember you still exist and she loves you, but it may take a few days, weeks, months. Yeah. You just never know. So can you tell us a little bit about what you're most excited about? You mentioned getting back into research, but is there anything else specific that you are just excited about or can't wait to try, or maybe a site to visit?
I mean, there's a lot. I am overwhelmed with how many things are coming, which is going to be great. I'm really looking forward to all of these new things, but I think there's so much that I'm excited for. So I'm really excited to meet all my new colleagues. I met some briefly during a campus visit, but I'm excited to just work with them on a daily basis and get to know everyone a little bit more and learn from other faculty members who've been doing the job for a long time. And there's some people who really care deeply about teaching. So I'm really excited to learn from my new colleagues and to learn from across campus as well. At McEwen University, there's a lot of strong support for faculty and students. So I'm excited to kind of, get to meet McEwen's version of the Center for Teaching and Learning and get to learn all of the people at their career services and see all the great things that they offer students. So I'm looking forward to developing my courses this summer and getting to meet colleagues, staff, faculty, like just other folks across the university to see where we can work together and where we can integrate the great work they're doing into some of my courses. Like I get to teach the first year history course, which I think is going to be super fun. So I want to try and introduce as many student services to my first year students as possible because, they're going to be fresh into a new space, which is university. And I just want them to know about all the amazing people that are there who want to help them on their academic journey. So getting to meet colleagues and to see how we can work together. So I'm looking forward to that. Research, I'm really looking forward to getting back into the archive. I'm hoping to spend some time in the archives here in Kingston and hopefully Library and Archives Canada in Ottawa before I make the move out west. We'll see as the clock is ticking away. I'm running out of time, but I'd really like to get back into the archives to kind of kick off some other projects that have been swirling around in my mind for the last few years. But we'll see if I have time to start those or if I'll have to wait to get back to the archives in a little while. And then I'm also excited to return to writing. It has been a little while since I've had dedicated time for writing, and I need to get back to transforming what was my dissertation into a proper book. So I've been kind of starting and stopping on that project for a while, so I'm really looking forward to getting to focus on that again this summer because I do love writing, even though I think many people have a love-hate relationship with writing,
I know very well.
Yes, sometimes it's great, sometimes it is frustrating. But I'm excited to get back to it and then, I'm sure I'll get frustrated by my writing at some point, but right now I'm just excited to get back to it.
Well, just remember, we do run writing boot camps here that you're welcome to join.
don't invite me because I might come all the way back. But I would, I'm really looking forward to that kind of getting to do those types of things again. Maybe set up my own little writing boot camp for myself out at McEwen.
Well, just be sure that you copyright it.
Yes.
Yes. And I love how you're like, I'm so excited to get back in the archives. I think that's all of us. We're like, we just want to be back in the rooms that are behind locks and doors so we can see all the old books and touch them. And we're not people that should go to museums because we're like, oh, but don't touch it. So that was actually a great segue into my next question, which isn't on the, in case you're wondering, I gave Katie Marie a bunch of questions and I've gone off script a few times. So if anyone's wanting to be interviewed at Grad Chat, just be prepared for that. So you have been the coordinator of postdoctoral affairs for 2 years now, one and a half?
Two and a half.
Okay. So working in academia as an administrator, as support, it often gives you a different perspective as you professors may have. So what do you think that you've learned in your current role that you'll be able to use as you transition into being a professorship, a professor? Whatever word we're going to pick.
Yeah. I think I've learned a lot in this role, and I'm really grateful to have had this position. It's been a lot of fun. And as I said before, We have lovely colleagues in the SGSPA, so I've been very fortunate to have great colleagues for the last few years and to learn a lot from everyone in the office as well. I think for what I'm going to take with me, switching from a more administrator role into a faculty position, I think is a sense of like how kind of the university works more broadly. So I think as a graduate student, I had like a sliver of an understanding of like what the university was doing at large, because I only had to, you know, interact with certain pieces of it. So I only understood those pieces. And then as a member of staff at Queen's and the nature of my role as coordinator of postdoctoral affairs, right? Postdocs are all across campus. So I ended up getting to interact with a lot of different departments or units across campus. I still have no idea what a lot of people do because there's so many different people who work at the university doing so many different things. But getting a chance to work with, you know, people in research services who are great, or people at the library, or just, you know, all these different departments has been helpful to understand how roles support one another and kind of the overall activities of the university. So I think when I start to transition this summer into a faculty role, I think I'll, from this current job, I will have a better understanding of who I need to talk to for support on ethics, or why a research ethics application takes a little while. I'll understand, you know, some of those pieces, all the different components and the people that have to come together to make something happen. I think understanding the university as well within the Canadian higher ed landscape has been helpful as well. So working with the tri-agency and different funding bodies outside of Queen's has also been helpful to see where, you know, Queen's fits, but also where McEwen and other different universities, colleges, polytechniques, all of those different higher ed institutions, how they work together, how they fill different mandates, how the federal government and provincial governments fund different activities, why they fund different activities. So I think that will be helpful when I'm looking to the future for research projects and trying to get funding support to help future students and things like that, to understand where, you know, a project might fit one funder's mandate but not another's, and why, based on the goals of different programs. So I think it'll help me navigate McEwen University, and then also just it'll help me navigate broader issues in higher ed. So I'm very grateful to have learned a lot of different things from this role, and then I'll also just be, I'm hoping to be a very patient person, because I have been on, had to support folks through some different challenges and having to learn how to do that support. So I'm hoping that I'll have a lot of patience for when I need help and I'm getting help from someone else at McEwen University. Having been on either side of that equation, just off having a lot of patience for understanding sometimes things take time, and, you know, everyone, I think, most institutions or really any job, most people are trying their best, right? So just, you know, continuing to have that grace and appreciation that people are trying their best, and you may be, you come to someone with a problem, but that, you know, that one problem you have is one small percentage of their overall job and all the other problems they're trying to help people with. So coming to that when I reach out with questions, because I know I'm going to have a lot of questions when I started a new workplace in general, and then just understanding it's going to take a while for people to get back to me and that kind of thing.
And those shirt grants are so fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you have basically landed your white whale. Did everyone enjoy the Moby Dick reference? You have gotten a job in academia as a professor, which is something that I know a lot of grad students and postdocs are really hoping will happen, but it's a pretty competitive landscape out there right now. Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have for anyone who may be hoping to be a professor in the future and looking for those jobs? Do you have any advice for them that you like to give?
I think, like you said, yes, it is competitive out there. So I think I feel very lucky to have this opportunity. And I think there are positions out there, but like you said, it's a challenging job market. So I think it's important that you have lots of options in your mind. I think this is maybe my experience is a little maybe different than what I thought it would be, but I completed my PhD and then transitioned into a staff role, which was lovely, and then now I'm moving to an academic role. So I think if you asked me at the start of my PhD, would I be a professor, I probably would be like, well, no, there's the chances of that are very low. So I was anticipating throughout my PhD moving to a staff support role. I really enjoy working one-on-one with people and providing different types of support, kind of more from like a coaching side or professional development side. I really enjoy that type of work. And I knew that. So I sought out opportunities during my PhD to get to volunteer or offer that kind of thing throughout, because I expected that there wouldn't be any positions in my field in a professor role. Although I was, you know, at the beginning of my PhD, was like, that would be great. I don't think it'll happen, but that's okay. Yeah. You know, I came in pretty eyes wide open just to the competitive nature of it. So I think having lots of options in mind is something I would recommend anyone do, just because, well, first of all, you may not know when you start graduate school or a PhD, the career you think you want, that might change. So it's mm-hmm. good to be open to lots of options, I think, just so you know, shut yourself out from something that might be a great fit. But that also you aren't disappointed if there isn't, if you only have one career path in mind and that career path doesn't work out, that can be extremely disappointing. So I think it's helpful to have a couple different options and pathways open to you. And then in terms of, I guess, for those who are currently looking for like an assistant professor type role, I would recommend applying to everything, any job that fits within your field or your parameters. So for myself, I knew that I did not want to leave Canada. I also do Canadian history, so not a lot of other countries are.
I was going to say, not a lot of other countries are looking at that.
No,
I mean,
exactly.
They should. They really should.
Yes.
But not a lot of other countries are. We want to know about Canadian history.
Exactly.
They should.
Oh, it's just different, right? Like if I was studying American history, perhaps, you know, someone in an Asian or a European country would still hire an American historian. But for Canada and Canadian historians, that's much less likely. So
even though we were ever like, okay.
Yeah. It's just a reality, right?
So for a reality, yeah. Yes.
And for myself, I also, just for personal reasons, wasn't too interested in moving abroad. So mm-hmm. I've got a lot of family ties here and I have a partner to consider and all of those things that, you know, many other folks have to consider as well. So my parameters were, I was looking in Canada. And then anytime a position came up that was within my time frame, my area of study, and loosely in my topics of study, I would apply to it. So I'd recommend anyone who is looking to just apply broadly. It is a lot of work. I will say that. It is a lot of work to customize your application or pieces of your application to these different roles. But you never really know what exactly the hiring committee is looking for. So, you know, a hiring committee is made up of anywhere from 4 or 5 up to 8 people. It's a big group of people, right? So it's very rare that multiple people will come to a consensus about an exact job description. So I think when you apply broadly, you give the committee a chance to look at your materials and then decide if they would be interested in interviewing you or not. If you don't apply, you're removing yourself from the competition.
The answer's
no. Exactly, right? Like, so there's, I think that way, if you apply, you give yourself a chance. If they say no, if you don't hear anything back, because that often happens too, you just don't hear anything, that's okay. I think the first time you apply is probably the hardest, right? Like anything, because you've got to build your application. But once you have your application, all those different components together, it's easier to edit, right? Of course, everything's going to have a slightly different thing. Like one application might ask for a research statement that's 2 pages. Another one might ask for a 5-page research statement. All of those things might, you know, the specifics may differ, but the essence of those components is the same. So once you've had a chance to develop a full application, then you can just keep tweaking it and then put it out there as much as possible. So yeah, I would recommend keeping your options open, looking broadly, applying broadly, and then, you know, within whatever parameters you set. Maybe you're happy to move around the world. Maybe you only want to move to a specific province or state. You'll be the one who knows what would fit your life or life goals best. So then, you know, apply within those. And I guess other advice I can think of is just look for opportunities while you're here at Queen's. There's so many cool professional development activities, even if they're not professional development or you're going for professional development. But there's just so many cool opportunities here, so many cool things to learn for free. And there's not many times in your life where you'll get access to free workshops, free information sessions, like all of this stuff. Like there's so many so many cool things here. And I mean, Amanda, you run a lot of them.
And there are snacks.
Yes, exactly.
The students have told us snacks.
Yes. And like you get a chance to meet other people too, which is really nice too, because you never know. I think networking sounds like it's a very corporate sounding word. But in my mind, networking is just like meeting other people. And then it's like, hey, oh, I saw a really cool job opportunity. Oh, and I met someone at a workshop like 2 weeks ago, and this sounds in line with them. Maybe I'll send it to them because they mentioned they were looking, right? And that's I mean, how you can help out your quote-unquote network. But if you meet an acquaintance, you remember they do cool research, you see something that sounds like it's related to their field, and you send it their way. Like that, I guess, is networking, but it doesn't have to feel inauthentic or like you're trying to get something from a peer or a colleague, right? You're just meeting lots of people at these events, and then you're able to support one another. When you see cool stuff, you send it their way, and then maybe someone will send something cool to you, like in, you know, when something pops up, an opportunity that matches with what you are interested in. So I think, yeah, take advantage of cool supports and services while you can, because, yeah, there's not many places that have training every day of the week if you're interested in it, or something new to learn every day of the week, which is pretty cool.
That is some good advice. Professional development is very important, even if sometimes people don't think it applies to what they want to do in their future. It is getting out there, kind of broadening your mind, and you do learn different things.
Totally.
So that's really great. So final question for you. Do you have any tips for me as you are passing the grad host mantle? What should I do?
Well, I think you're already great at it. You're warm. You're easy to talk to. You're funny. Like, I think you'll be fine. I think to come to the show with excitement, which I think you're doing. So I don't know. It's hard. Every interview I've done is different because every guest has been a little bit different. So I think I usually just let the guest lead the way and go from there. I don't know if
and
that's good advice.
Ask random questions.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. It could be interesting. You just never know where it's going to take you. Okay. So Katie Marie, thank you for everything. You and I have worked together for about 8 months now. Mm-hmm. So not very long, but I have really appreciated your support and help over the last year. And you have been someone that we've been able to go to and say, what is this? And what am I supposed to be doing? And I don't think you'll appreciate how much we're all going to miss you in SGSPA. So I just want to wish you the best. And I can't wait to hear about your new role and how things are going.
Thank you.
And hopefully when you're back in Kingston, maybe you'll stop in and we'll do a little check-in to see if that, you know, being that professor, is everything was supposed to be. But before I get weepy, I might already be a little weepy. I am gonna miss you. We'll say goodbye to Katie Marie and thank her for everything she's done, and we truly are going to miss you and all the wonderful work that you do at Queen's.
Oh, thank you, Amanda. It's been really fun to be on the other side, and thank you so much for continuing Grad Chat, because I think it's a great show that the SGSPA does. So
thank you. Okay, so until next week, this has been Grad Chat with Amanda. Yes, I'm still trying to come up with a catchy podcast handle. It's a work in progress, so I hope you will tune in and maybe provide some suggestions. Don't forget that you can download this show tomorrow from either iTunes, Google's Podcast, Spotify, or the CFRC podcast. Just search Grad Chat. If you're a Queen's student, postdoc, faculty, or staff, and you'd like to be featured on Grad Chat, please send an email to sgspa@queensu.ca. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.